I guess one of the best scriptures we can look at as we talk about this dimension that has a lot to do with the supernatural. I think the Western Hemisphere, the churches in our area, and apostolically, I think that an apostle brought me to another dimension of how to function in the spirit realm and how to be able to yield to God at a different degree or a different dimension. I had not known. I knew how to work in faith. I knew how to work in the anointing. But I had not come to real understanding of the glory of God. I mean, this class, you all as a class in this school, you watching by internet also, I think you're in a primary moment of functioning as the Bible said we can function. Yes, sir. When we come down to making a transition, listen to me now, from faith to the anointing and knowing how to make a transition from the anointing to yielding to the glory of God. Notice how I say that, to yielding to the glory of God. Yielding to, in other words, when God manifests his presence to bring forth his essence. Because I believe the glory of God is the essence of God, of God having no impossibilities, just being God. And I think we can train ourselves as ministers of the gospel to know when the shifting is taking place. Okay, it's supernatural. I know it's invisible, but yet on the other hand, on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, we saw the glory came on the outside. And shine, and shine, you know, it's just the essence of God, the beauty, and yet the splendor and the ability of God came out. Then you see Jesus praying in John 17, just make note of this, Jesus praying about the glory of God. And he asking God that he will return to the glory he had with him before he came into the world. So the glory in 2 Corinthians 3:18, I want you to look at that. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and you read up the 10th verse, you'll see that's it's a more excellent glory. It's not so much Old Testamentic experiences. Is in a deeper dimension, the prophet got glimpse of God's glory. Jesus came full of grace and truth. He was full of the glory of God. He's the very glory of God when he came. Yes, and that's all that God is, all that God can do, and all that God has, or all that God can provide, or all that God can make happen. That's all manifestation, all demonstration, all creation. When you talk about the glory of God, you're talking about all of that. So God built us in the spirit, as I try to share with the class about we're in his image, his likeness, have his nature. We're sons and daughters of God. We're new creatures. And as God joined out with Christ. And then Jesus in the 15th chapter of John called us the friends of God. He said, I didn't call you servant. I call you friend. So now, what I'm saying, class, I want you to get this, because this has been missing in the body of Christ, and men have tried to push the anointing to do only what the glory can do. Yes, sir. See, the anointing at its highest peak brings you to the glory. Yes, the glory, actually, I by permission of the Holy Spirit, the glory is almost exchangeable with God. You know, as we give that definition, that threefold definition, is God essence, is God unfolding himself in a situation that the situation don't stand a chance. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it seemed like all lights out, but when God's glory began to manifest, it is not tenet with men weakness. If a man or a woman know how to shift, know how to back off, when the glory comes, that which was not going to happen will happen.
Yes, sir.
And so we have had anointing heroes.
Yeah,
we all together, I carry a pretty strong anointing, and you think that's the fly in the butter. You think that's it, I tell you, learn better. When you learn better, you need to do better. That's what the elders used to say. You learn better, do better. You don't learn no better, you can't do no better. So, that in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says we're to go from glory to glory. Glory to glory. The Bible talks about from faith to faith. The Bible talks about from victory to victory. But here we're talking about from glory to glory. So I'm seeing, class, and I want you to see as a student at school that in coming to this revelation of the glory and learning, if you're in a service or you're in ministry, doing ministry, there are certain periods where you're out of it. That's for a reason. There are some things God got to get you out of the way so he can do it. And he'll hide his hand and give you the credit for it. I've seen it happen many times. So let's go back in depth and look at what is the glory of God. We read about the glory in John 1. We read about it in John 17. We read about it a lot in the Old Testament. What is the glory of God? Well, you got Hebrew and Greek. In Hebrew, it's got a word called kabod. K-A-B-O-W-D. And they talk about what it means. It means glory. It means honor. It means glorious. It means abundance. So God is honor. He's glorious. He's abundance. I'm teaching now, and I'll go to Houston next week. And dealing with walking in the glory of the wealth transfer, how to walk in the glory of the wealth transfer. I'm trying to get that over in different states as we go. But here we have the Hebrew now. Here we have, and I'm not so much, on the Hebrew word. I just want to know the meaning. And so here it means honor. It means glorious. It means abundance. Now, it is pointed out here that it came from a root word, glory, meaning, watch this, to be heavy. Or be weighty, like a scale. And then they have the word rich, R-I-C-H. Could it be? We have missed out on a lot. Because we didn't know the essence or the extent of the glory of God. We read the glory of God. People just think it's getting happy and getting hot. Or, something happened. But no. I think it's the prelude from miracles, signs, and wonders, and manifestation, and demonstration, and doing exploit, as they talk about in the book of Daniel. So we can back now and see why we have not been having it as we should. Even though we've been operating in faith, we've been operating in the anointing, but that third step, if you don't know how to take it, it won't work for you.
Yes, sir.
And that's what I want you to grasp, that you can yield to the glory of God. And the glory of God will come if the atmosphere is created for him to manifest. He wants to manifest,
yes.
But it had to be someone know how to receive the blessing of the manifestation of his glory. So, there are times you come into a heaviness in a service. The service get weighty. You can sense what Sunday we had. I knew. I said the glory was here. I said it two or three times, and then man, I was off to running because I wanted to release it on people. So I ran all over the church Sunday because the glory came. I said, "As the glory," and you don't tell them what happened in manifestation at those moments. See, it was. I was through. Now I'm just running in the glory. I'm running in the glory. Now, also, That's why I'm looking at this in the wealth transfer. Kibor is used in describing wealthy men of great reputation. Wow. Wealthy men of great reputation. So the wealthiness of God is in his glory. And so maybe that's why we have not found candidates to qualify for the wealth transfer, because we have to learn how to walk in the glory. Not just in the glamour, not just in things, you see, in God himself. Before you can handle a lot of wealth, you have to be wealthy with God. God has to be heavy in your life. You understand what I'm saying? Not a weight that holds you down, but a weight that balances you, that you can handle what he's doing. So it also describes the word riches you. The word is wealth is you, describing wealth when you come down to the glory of God. Now the Greek, again, we see outstanding words used here. Splendor, brightness, magnificence, excellent, preeminent, dignity, grace. Are you seeing this, class? Let me go over those words again, because, see, we talk about wealthy, rich, heavy, weighty. What the Greek and the Hebrew is doing is trying to find words. You can't, when he shows up in his essence, you just got to start saying some big things. Just say some big, heavy, bright. You know, I mean, you can't, he's indescribable. But yet for us to preach and minister and be aware of something that we can relate to, because none of these words really can describe it. But let's go over them again now. To be heavy, be weighty, rich, wealthy, splendor, brightness, magnificent, excellent, preeminent, dignity, grace. See, all of these things describe what the glory of God is. My goodness. So in essence, the word glory gives us the fundamental meaning of God is his attribute, his virtue, his character, his nature, and his perfection. Are you listening to me? His attribute, his virtue, the virtue of God, his character, his nature, and perfection. He's a perfected God. God's glory is the essence of his presence. Now, there are three things that you're not going to find in no book. I'm just going to share you three secrets I shared with one man. God wants you, number one, to seek his face. Number two, soak up his presence. Every chance you get, just soak it up. And then you're ready now to go show forth his glory. In other words, when you seek his face and soak up his presence, you're going to have manifestation and demonstration in your life that you're not going to be able to contain. And you don't want to contain it, because God will mock you with his excellence and his heaviness and his wealth and his splendor, his honor, his total being will become a life package of your life. So when you seek his face, soak up his presence, you're going to have to show forth his glory. Now his glory is faith, the anointing, his glory, manifestation, demonstration, miracles, signs, wonders, the invisible becoming visible, on and on and on and on and on. Because he's God. And what I want this class to know, as I am to teach you about the supernatural, as I'm learning as an apostle, I think the church have had a great injustice by not having the apostle. Right, right. You know, I pastored a long time. I've been pastoring a long time. It's just that the way God designed things, and we have, if you have a whole lot of fake things, most of the time you won't get the real fig.
Yeah, right.
Yes, sir. You follow what I'm saying? And then the people don't mean no harm. They just, you know, someone might feel they have a calling, but what are they going to get trained at?
Yeah, right.
You know? So just go on, say the name and struggle with it. Now, as we discuss the glory of God, it is also important, class, to note that there is just the glory of men and the glory of the world. The Bible talks about it. The Bible described these type of glory as vain and temporal. See, the glory of God is eternal. See, these glories there, it consists only of prestige, fame, position, comfort, reputation, and recognition. So we have, and Paul talks about it in explaining about the body, the world. The word also mentioned the glory of the terrestrial and the celestial bodies. You know, Paul talks about that in Corinthians. It teaches that the external glory reflected by a body shows the internal condition of the same. Let me read this out. This external glory is the fundamental value and worth of the body. God's glory is the visible and tangible manifestation of the fullness of his presence impacting the physical senses. Let me read it again. God's glory is the visible and tangible manifestation of the fullness, Mount Transfiguration, see? Matthew 17, of his presence impacting the physical sense. It is God making himself tangible. What? I felt anointing. That's right. You what? What? God making himself tangible. Well, I can feel him. Touch him. Watch me now. Smell him. If you never smell God, you ain't worth your salt. How he smell? I don't know. You just smell good. That's what the little girl said. You know, you can sense it. That's an odor of his essence. Fragment. You know, the Bible talk about the fragmentation. Yeah, oh, yeah, glory to God. I can't explain it, but I know when he's down. Now, you know, this is where I believe we got stuck. Let me see. In the Old Testament, God manifested in the form of a cloud known as the Shekinah glory. And that's real. You know, he led the children of Israel with that cloud, which means this Shekinah, which means dwelling or settling. Dwelling or settling. It referred to the dwelling or settling presence of God among his people. The dwelling or settling present. In other words, there are times it seems like God set on you. You got a seat right next to you, but he don't want to sit there. He set on you. You sense a heaviness. You say, and then you look around and you see, you know, other people don't like no. They don't know where you're at. Why? Because they don't know how to shift into that. And I sense God want to ooze in here tonight. They don't know how to shift into that gear. When God is settling his presence, he's becoming heavy, he's becoming weighty, he's becoming tangible. You know, we know he's a spirit, but he has a way. He has a way to make it known I'm here. And there are men and women who can pick up, for lack of a better word, the tension. There's a tension that comes. There's a call to pay attention now. Something about to happen you couldn't make happen. Now, you see, y'all look here. Y'all, you see, This is what I want you to leave this school with. Something tangible, something you don't have to fake it. You have to know how to yield to it. And you have to know the reality of it in your spirit. And at any moment, it can show up on the outside. And see, as you're ministering the word or witnessing to somebody, you can sense you're going beyond yourself. Huh? But it's not going to happen if you don't know how to expect it. Two things to keep them happening. Faking it. Not knowing what it is. Trying to talk about it. Or not expecting it. Another thing you have to know is you are not in control. Okay. So it means a dwelling or settling. You know, that boy had that experience with God. He said, show the Lord when he prayed, and I didn't even know it. You know? Why you don't know it if you don't know what to look for? It referred to the dwelling or settling presence of God among his people, as well as the imminent, watch this word now, transcendent presence of God. You use the word transcendent, you use the word transition, we use the word transformation, we use the word transforming in Romans 12, too, you right? It's actually, class, talking about going into another dimension. Most service stay in one dimension, physical, flesh, emotional, and loud. You know, we've been through that. I mean, we've been through it. Let's face it. It's a new day. And God, the spirit world is always, now I want you to get this, Claire, the spirit world is always moving. Denominational-wise, religious-wise, even the word of faith, full gospel, stopped somewhere and camped out and got happy because there was further ahead or up the road than the other. And so when you want to make yourself look good, you look back down the road, somebody who haven't crossed the ditch yet, and you pat yourself on the back. But you, if you look really at it, you haven't moved either. Now, God never stop moving. What I said?
God never stop moving.
You need a fresh rhema every day of your life. You need God to give you something fresh or to show you a fresh move to make. And if you start developing yourself and looking for it, along with the challenges, there's no non-challenging life you can live here. You understand? So don't go in the mirror, start looking in the mirror, crying about Lord me. No, everybody going through something.
Yes,
but some people go through it different ways.
Yes,
got it?
Yes,
yeah. So I want this class to know, even if you're sitting in a service, and knowing that service have shift. Now, you got to be mindful of what service you're sitting in, because most of them ain't going to know it. They're not going to know it's shift. So they're going to be going the same way. Sometimes you got to drop everything you're doing and just turn. The Lord is here. He won't do something. And just follow behind him and see what he won't do. It'd be the best trip you ever took. Even when you had a map, knew where you was going. That's the problem. You see what I'm saying? So this transcendent aspect of God, this glory world, this unexplainable position that we have the right, my goodness, I sense it, the right to get in. Most Christians would never see it. Most Christians will never see it. Why? They get too many big boys in their eye. There is no big boy. God the big man. All right? You see, it's when God manifests himself in the physical realm. In other words, he goes from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. He goes from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. See, now three-quarters of us miss that. All we're talking about is manifest. Huh? All we're talking about is demonstrate. Huh? That's all we're talking about. All we're talking about is 2 Corinthians 3:18. We're talking about why we look not at the things that are seen, for they are temporary or temporal. We look at the things that are not seen, which are eternal. See. That's our advantage as Christians, as little Christ, as having the Holy Spirit live on the inside of us. We can transfigure on you. We can go to another dimension at any moment. Satan knows that. He don't want us to know that. He knows we have the attribute of Christ. He knows he already defeated. If he can keep us out of this realm. He don't mind us praying. He don't mind us saying. He don't mind us dancing. He don't mind. He just don't want you to know. Now, when you talk about the Shekinah glory of God, the word S-H-A-K-N, shaken, it means to settle down, to abide, dwell, tabernacle, reside. So all they're talking about is God's will and desire has always included dwelling, resting, and living among his people. Now the word yield is so important here. If you know how to yield to him, that's what I want to get you, class, where you know how to yield, because some of your darkest moments you're going to see in your life is your greatest moment. It's when you're being covered, you're fading out. And it seems like you're a failure, but that's the moment God's going to show you who you really are. Yeah. So God's glory is the manifested presence of Jehovah. Then Acts chapter 7, verse 2, God appeared to Abraham. And here are three or four things I want to talk about. The physical manifestation of God's glory transformed Abraham forever. Don't turn there, look at it. Transform Abraham forever. God manifested himself. See? Then in Acts 7, Stephen making his address, he said in the first verse, then the high priest said, are these things so? And he said, brethren and fathers, listen. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. The God of glory, hallelujah. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. He never was the same. When the physical manifestation of God's glory transformed Abraham forever. Change how he lived, change his motive, change his priorities, change his intention. Prompted him to seek the promised land. Once you taste God's glory, you're never fully satisfied. It actually puts you, Doug, it puts you on the cutting edge. You're always leaning to another dimension. You're running your nose who have camp and park and shouting around the same revelation, but you ain't got no joy there. You know it's something else. You're on the cutting edge. No, there's another, always another degree. There's always another dimension. There's always another level. There's always a time to move from the blessing to the power. Just getting blessed is not enough. I want the power to know how to function in the blessing. See? And that's what I want you to hear. And that's what these instructions want you to know, that and here I can attest to a fact. I'm about to say something. Anyone, Abraham was not the same after he had a visitation of the glory of God. I said that, right? And you see Jesus walking, he's trying to get back there. And he's back there now, but he wanted to get back. Likewise, anyone who experienced a visitation of God's glory should be transformed forever. Now, I haven't had an experience. I'll tell us experience about being in that little shed with those drums, and God showed up. And that's just only one. I've had many. And my life has constantly been changed by having these experiences with God. I couldn't explain it, but now, after I'm studying the glory, you become damaged naturally. You understand my say? You become you have such an effect on you until you want to really live there. And you can step it up too. I mean, you can step it up. That you had to keep your mind on God and spend a lot of time with Him. But you can, the moments, man, just having a moment, you know. People transformed by God's glory receive a revelation from God and bring the glory into the natural dimension. Bring the glory into the natural. That's why we've been running short of miracles, signs, and wonders, because they are brought in by the glory, the manifested presence of God. Are you with me, class?
Yes, sir.
So in your devotion time, and by having all these definitions and understanding what it is, maybe sometime God had visit, and I talked about you don't want to miss your visitation. You don't want to miss your visitation. And I was telling my members, the visitation comes before the manifestation. Then Numbers chapter 9, God manifested His glory to the Israelite nation. So it was always the cloud covered by day and appearance of fire by night. Now, we have read this story. God manifests His glory to the Israelite in the form of a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, manifesting Himself. The cloud, you remember, protected the people from the sweltering heat of the desert during the day, and the fire kept them warm at night when the temperature dipped to near freezing. He just got a way of doing things. So if He did that for the Israelite, watch what I'm going to say now. This is not going to sound good. What about your Mickey Mouse problem? You in the house with the alkies on worrying. You see, I'm trying to snatch you somewhere. The God of glory. You just get up, stand on your feet and say, the God of glory is here. See? If you keep saying it, you keep saying it, he manifests. He manifests. Then you know what it is too. Do you know the millions of Christians don't know what we in this class? You internet class, you know the millions of Christians haven't heard none of the stuff we're talking about here now? Churches, bishops, and popes. Listen, under the protective covering of that Shekinah glory, many supernatural events took place. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't just man, faith, Moses, the great man. No. The glory showed up. Moses didn't open the Red Sea. The Lord opened the Red Sea. Because Moses opened it, could Moses lay concrete at the bottom so it didn't cross on the cross? The Red Sea opened before them. Manna descended from heaven. And their shoes never wore out. Years after years after years. During the 40 years, listen, they walked through the desert. No one experienced sickness. God provided water from a rock and kept the giant from destroying them. So there's only a few of the supernatural event that took place. Few of the supernatural event, boy, that's powerful. Now, when Solomon's temple was dedicated, God's glory manifested in the shape of a cloud. It was a sign that informed the people that Jehovah was dwelling among them. It's paramount to look at John 1:14 now. It's paramount. Look at John 1:14. Because I want to give a word here now that I want this class to know about, a transitional word here. Progressive revelation. Progressive revelation. No, going into the New Testament, going to the Gospel, going to Acts, going to the epistles. It's progressive revelation. How it was before, how it was when, and how it was after. When, I'm talking about when Jesus manifested and died. The progress of God's glory became more progressive. Are you following me? Yeah, the glory is more progressive than opening the Red Sea and then Moses and all other great leaders, because now we're coming to God reveal his glory through Christ. In John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwell among us. We beheld his what?
Glory.
Glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus came to reveal the fullness of the Father's glory. Now you got to go back to all your definitions now. Jesus brought his heaviness. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. That's why Jesus walked so heavy. When it needed a miracle, Jesus just reached into the glory. That was. See. I was talking to my sons, I believe, and my wife. I was telling them that some people are trying to operate strong in strong faith. But you don't know, them people weren't just operating in faith. They was operating in a covenant. Make a note of that now. Make a note of that, because you're trying to believe God for something. But see, the word that you're using to believe with is a covenant.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
And so come on, class.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hit that hard. Make a move. Look, listen. I'm trying to get an answer to your prayer right now, an answer to your confession. You have to recognize God can't break his covenant. And so, if you see it in the Word, God said he'll do something for you, and you got your faith out there, lock into the covenant.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I never heard this before, but I'm about to tell you something. The covenant can turn into a rhema.
Yes, sir. All right. Yes, sir.
I'm hearing something else. A live moment of God's agreement.
Yes, sir.
Write that down. A live, a live moment of God's agreement. In other words, it's no longer a scripture. It's two spiritual beings talking about a spiritual transaction that can't be denied. When the life of God in you meet the life of God for you, something got to happen.
Wow.
I felt that. See, that's why the covenant come in. That's where you know everything covered.
Yes, sir.
It's already covered. God saying, I got that. Leave that, go to something else. I got that.
Yeah.
I'm handling that for you. And you bold enough to believe it,
yes,
and receive it,
yeah,
and leave it. Leave from there.
Yeah.
Go on to something else. It's already done.
Yeah.
That's what he's calling for. That's what covenant do for you.
Yes,
my covenant will not break nor alter the word going out of my lips.
Yeah.
And see, Jesus was the covenant manifested. The glory that was lost by Adam through his death and resurrection, Jesus led us back, watch now, back to that dimension of glory where we could walk once more as Adam did in the beginning. Oh, no, y'all ain't shucking no corn yet tonight. Listen. Walk. Jesus led us back to that dimension of glory. See, it was a glory dimension. See, Adam was walking in God's essence. None contaminated. A perfect walk with God. In perfect communion with God. No ill will, no sin, nothing between him and God. Just pure God and pure Adam. Well, that's what Jesus brought back to us. Yeah, that's what he brought back to us. Hebrews chapter 2, look at it for a minute. Hallelujah. The glory of God. Hallelujah. We're studying the glory of God. We're studying breakthrough. We're studying going back to the book of Acts and finish it. We need to finish the book of Acts. It's not finished yet. The church is the extension of the kingdom. And we're supposed to be establishing some things that the Spirit of God still has on his mind.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we're behind because we stopped and dined at the wrong table.
Yes.
We got to keep moving. There's always more. Good,
yes,
God Almighty. You got to have an appetite.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Most of y'all ain't got much of an appetite for the supernatural and for the Spirit of God. Y'all, you think you do. But if you put it on a scale, you'll find out you got a whole lot more to do. I know it, because I know it. People, you know, they act like they love God so much, but y'all, you gotta get more serious about this.
Yes,
spend more time. We got so much regular time with you. We waste a lot of time. We waste time with things. And you miss a ton when you're waiting. Oh, the ninth verse here, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than an angel for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might take death for everyone. He says, for in the tenth verse, he's talking about bringing many sons to glory. For it was fitting, I'm reading the New King James Version, for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus suffered our shame so we could share his glory. Now, what is his glory? Everything the Father is, his virtue, attribute, character, nature, power, authority, and grace were manifested in his Son. One more time. Everything the Father is, we are able to share his virtue, his attribute, his character, his nature, his power, his authority, and grace was manifested in his Son And the Son made you a son.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So here's a statement. It's a wide open statement. But it goes on to say, furthermore, Jesus promised to manifest himself to those who obey his word. Here you go now. Just before his arrest, Jesus prayed to the Father, asking him to return the glory that mankind had lost so that each believer could live in its manifestation. Read that to you again. Oh, my class, you better be hearing this. You better hear this in the car. Listen. Jesus, just before his arrest, Jesus, and I told you about it, I touched on the 17th chapter of John, prayed to the Father, asking him to return. He didn't only pray for him to return the glory. He asked the Father to let us have that glory. To return us to the glory that Adam had. Return to the glory that mankind had lost so that each believer could live in its manifestation. What manifestation? The glory manifestation. The character of God manifestation. His attribute. Hear what he said. Hear what he said in that prayer. As you sent me in the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sake I sanctified myself, that they may be sanctified by the truth, and the glory which you gave to me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, that they may behold my glory, what you have given me. That's John 17 and verse 18, 19, 22, and 24. But it's in the 17th chapter of John. Boy, I tell you what, I start reading the book of Isaiah. Man, that first half of Isaiah, them people was hellfired. Boy, good God, man, it was sinning. I said, man, I read Isaiah before. I didn't know there was that much hell going on, though. Just read the first chapter, second chapter, man. Okay. Entering into the knowledge of God's glory. The knowledge of God's glory. Becoming educated. Then in Isaiah 6:3, and that's right in the middle of all that stuff. Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, I think it just passed the law that Sam Session get married, the Supreme Court. You know, and stuff like that. I knew they were going to pass it. I didn't even pray about it. I knew they were going to pass it. Because things will get worse and worse. Right, right. But you got to always remember there's two worlds going on.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
And if you keep your head in the other world too much, you're going to say, ooh, it's bad. How rough it is. No. Yes. Stick your head back over into the other world.
Yes,
things getting brighter and brighter.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Brighter. Oh, yes. God's glory is getting bigger and bigger.
Yes.
But you got to get over in the glory world. You got to come out of the gloom and get in the glory. Look at Isaiah. You see what Isaiah 60, 1, 2, and 3 says? Make a mark of Isaiah 60. Darkness is going to cover the earth and say, gross darkness. But we're going to have light. So I think I caught myself. Because what you do, you get to think about what's going on here. This is supposed to go on. These heathen, educated heathen, going to pass all kinds of things. These political heathen going to pass everything that's raunchy. They can't. The devil got them.
Yes, sir.
They don't pull the shake us up.
Right.
Call on fire. We call on fire.
Yeah.
I'll call on some fire. You mess with me.
Yes,
so
sir.
They got to know that. You got to keep them in their place.
Yes,
can't be scared of them. Oh, Lord, what the world coming to? The world coming to just what the Bible says coming to. Nothing. But as they get worse, we're supposed to get. But if we don't know how to function in the glory, you learning in this school, you're being taught in this school, you ahead of the pack. I'm telling you right now, you're the head of the pack, Jack. but you're the head of the pack. I'm telling you, I've been studying 40-some years. I know you're ahead of the pack. You're a generation that need to know the glory. You need to know the light because you're at the extension of the evil. We're going to have to be greater preachers. We're going to have to know our God. We're going to have to know how to function in the glory of God.
Yes,
we're going to have to know how to call fire on, man.
Yes, sir.
Huh? We got to know how to walk on water. We got to know that. We got to believe everything the Bible says. We the generation. That's God. God told me to raise this school up, and said so they can see the movement of the Spirit. Have an example, have an explanation of the fact that nothing too hard for God, no matter where you are. Yeah. See, preachers can't talk to me all over the world. Man, it's bad. Man, there's nothing to tell me bad. You can take it down the road. Yeah. God, good everywhere. Yeah. I'm going to close in a few minutes, Claire. But the scripture affirmed that the earth, now wait a minute now, the earth is full of God's glory. Wait a minute, something wrong now. The earth can't be full of God's glory and all this mess. Yes, the glory right in the middle of the mess. Somebody who know how to function in the glory, let wherever they are, let the glory out. Don't let them make you afraid. Don't let them get on TV and say some high quality technology stuff. The glory is greater than that. Whatever they say, whatever man invent, cannot touch the border of the glory of God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, here we're going to turn to a channel now. I think we're talking about channel. What's called the what station you're on.
Yeah.
And what your news be.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Call them what channel. But the channel that grant us access to the manifestation of his glory in the natural realm is, you ready? Revealed knowledge. See. You turn to that channel, caught him by it, where the Holy Ghost is pumping the glory of God like iron.
Yes, sir.
Holy Ghost say, you want some of this? But you got to be on that channel.
Yeah.
See, you're looking at anything else, you're on the wrong station. For God created the heaven and the earth and filled them with his glory. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1 informs us that before God initiated the process of creation, he sent his Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of glory. He's the Spirit of God's character. You know that, huh? He sent his Holy Spirit. Listen, class. Watch now. You got to hear what I say now. I say you got to hear what I'm about to say. Genesis chapter 1 informs us that before God initiated the process of creation, he sent his Holy Spirit. Watch. Two reasons. To set up camp with his energy, his glory. See, now his glory just was called his energy. In order to make creation possible. When God plans to do something, he first sent his Holy Spirit. Look in Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 29. Paul, in that verse, made reference to this energy of glory. I don't be you hear what I'm saying. I don't be you understand what I'm saying. But the Lord is energy, glory.
Yeah.
The glory is the energy of God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The energy is the glory of God.
Yeah.
It ignite the invisible world.
Yes, sir.
It has the ability to create that what you need to minister about.
Yes, sir.
It's miracles, signs, and wonders.
Yes, sir.
It's life after death. Raise the dead.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Make the lame walk. Make the blind see, the deaf hear. Dumb talk. It's a divine energy that can be, whoa, my goodness, that can be transfused through you. Flaws and all. You got your flaws, your flaws and all, but yet the more consistent and the more persistent and the more you pursue and the more you surrender and the more you sacrifice.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I have a right to be excited.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because I've been paying dividends for this partner.
Yes, sir.
Y'all ain't gonna let me be quiet to my. He talking about himself. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I paid. I thank God for it.
Yes.
And I'm not. I'm just telling you, it's there.
Yes.
And I never quit.
Yes, sir.
Never. I never quit. I always know there's more God, man.
Yes, sir.
Every day of my life since I was saved, I know there's more.
Yes.
He just another notch you want me to have. There's another one you want me to have. Something else he want me to do, outstanding.
Yes,
he's going to help me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I have the energy of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Say it. I have the energy of the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
living in me.
Living in
which manufactured the glory of God.
What
enabled me to move in God's presence. God's power.
God's position.
On earth.
On his behalf.
You see, I got to close. You see, I see this. The glory is God's energy. The glory is the Holy Ghost wrapping God up in a ball of fire. And putting it in your bosom. Calling your brain to expand or explode and get out of the way. In the mind of Christ, in the mind of God, begin to think through your mind. And you begin to talk like you're from another world. And regular Christians don't even know what you're talking about. They think you're going out of your mind. It's an energy, I tell you. The glory of God is the energy of his work, which work, Paul said, work in me mightily, in that voice. The literal translation of this voice suggests that Paul worked hard and gave his best because of the energy of power God gave him. Energy, power, glory, character. This energy. But his glory activated a miraculous power with Paul, watch, that elevated his capacity. You got to get this. I'm going to jump over like Superman. Listen, listen. This energy, this glory activated a miraculous power with Paul that elevated his capacity, his potential, his authority. Now, when you're reading and you see how Paul is functioning, Paul don't function like a regular man. But he's in his divine energy, this glory of God, which elevated his capacity.
Yes, sir.
Elevated,
yes, sir,
his potential.
Yes, sir.
Elevated his authority.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Listen, Claire. God's glory provides, you listen? The necessary energy to create any matter. I better close. I'm losing you. You're losing it. God's glory provides the necessary energy to create any matter. Wait, let me say it again. God's glory provides the necessary energy to create any matter. Miracles, signs, supernatural, another dimension, another capacity, another potential, another power, another energy. Ever since the fall of man, here's been the problem. Human beings have had difficulty seeing and working with God's glory. But if his glory exists on earth and has the power to create, then God can form a new heart. Lung, ear, eye, arm, or any other organ that is missing. We've seen that. I've seen God turn eye and eye into bone. This type class of creative miracles happen only when God moves his Holy Spirit. Then act on his word. All right, class, you listening?
Yes, sir.
The key is to call forth a visible manifestation of God's glory in the natural realm. The key is to call forth a visible manifestation of God's glory in the natural realm. You have that authority. You have that potential. All right, I'm going to tell you two more things. God's glory, you listening, class?
Yes,
makes no sense without revealed knowledge.
Why?
Because in the midst of God's glory, there's a stirring of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
The Holy Spirit has to be, he's a revelator.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he has to expose you to the other dimension.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir.
Ha! I see something.
Yeah.
I see what we've been missing at.
Yeah.
Listen, see, can you agree with this? This is my last statement right here. Miracles occur when we declare the word of God from the dimension of his glory.
All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Now, we just found out to declare it from the dimension of his glory, we have to have revealed knowledge.
Yes, sir.
We have to have the Holy Spirit moving.
Yeah.
God created nothing unless he sent the Holy Spirit first.
That's right.
So if we want miracles to happen in our ministry, we got to get the Holy Ghost moving.
Yes, sir.
So miracles occur when we declare the word of God from the dimension of his glory. So how are we going to declare the word of God from the dimension of his glory? We're going to have to come in a firm connection with the Holy Spirit at that moment.
Yes, sir.
So it's going to take a whole lot of healing. You see, there's three laws I'm working on now. The law of attraction, the law of distraction, and the law of subtraction.
Wow. Wow.
I'm biting on them in the spirit world, trying to get some more evidence of it.
Yeah.
I know about the law of attraction, because money coming is the law of attraction.
Yeah.
But and I know about distraction, that the enemy deceive you, and he want to distract you from what God trying to show you. So he'll show you something else. And you know about subtraction. He takes stuff from you if you don't know how to hold on to it. So now, Claire, let me close. Now, Claire, listen. What? Listen. You realize what God has said to you tonight? See, what you got to do? Yes, it's powerful. What you got to do? Because even this last statement, sum it up. It tells us what we've been missing at. We didn't know how to transition from faith to the anointing, from the anointing to the glory. Faith, God, so faith come out here, and I got the word of God, I'm speaking the word of God, I'm acting on the word of God. Then all of a sudden, another dimension come on me. I'm anointed now. All right, this is where we've been stuck. Need to make another step. And that's where God is calling you to make another step. Step in the energy of the Holy Ghost. Not just anointing, but the manifested presence of God. And you step over there, and then you unite with the Godhead, and you go to talking things you can't do. But you caught it in existence because now You declare the word of God from the dimension of his glory.
Yeah.
Not from the dimension of this book.
Yeah.
Not from the dimension of something you read.
Yeah.
But you've got to understand, you've come to understanding how to yield to his energy. And you're not afraid no more. When you get your first manifestation and your second and your third in that dimension, you're going to wonder where you've been. And you have not, look at me, you have not enjoyed your life as a Christian yet. It's a whole lot bigger than stuff. You almost take this stuff and stuff it. You know, and even though God wants you to have the best, but yay. Riding in a Rolls Royce without God. They do it every day. But you ride in a Rolls Royce with God? And knowing that the Rolls Royce don't hold the value that the world say it holds? The real gold is on the inside of you? You had another dimension. And some people look at the outside. Look at her, look at him. They don't even know you. Class, go over those notes over and over again. Do not try to move in the word without the Holy Spirit. But you don't have to. How can be sure that I'm moving in the word with the Holy Spirit? How can I be sure that I'm moving with the Holy Spirit? Because you be sure of the fact that the Holy Spirit is for you, he's in you, he's with you. And you have to have the understanding that God is not working against you, he's for you. And you have to develop yourself, because the reason that God don't let us move so fast is because we've got to be able to handle manifestation. See, Satan in manifestation, that's why you need a cover.
Yes, sir.
He says, things got to manifest, Satan try to move you too fast.
Right.
You got to be buffered.
Yes, sir.
You got to watch, you know, because Satan will step you out of his glory, out of God's glory, into his fake glory. Because he know you're about to testify. And you know, when people testify, a lot of people get saved. A lot of people change their lives. When somebody testifies of the real truth that God have done something, people get born again, get saved. People who once walked with God and was real close to God, they get back close to God. Say, well, what am I doing? You see what I'm saying? All right, class, keep your eyes open. Keep your knees bent. You'll see a lot of stuff. Glory to God.